RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo scheduled to visit Australia. Indonesia to encourage acceleration of IACEPA. Minister Ria Mishad affirms maritime defense secures national and international shipping. Now the news in detail.
President Joko Widodo is scheduled to be on walking visit to Australia November 6 until 8. The visit is aimed at fulfilling the invitation of Australian government. Foreign Minister spokesman Armand Attanasier said in Jakarta on Tuesday that President Joko Widodo's visit this time will be focused on efforts to strengthen economic and maritime cooperation between the two countries. He added that the visit is also intended to improve relations between the people of both countries.
Kunjungan ini merupakan kunjungan balasan dan salah satunya adalah bertujuan untuk
the visit is return visit and aims at strengthening the comprehensive partnership relation. The visit also shows the high intensity of the relationship between Australia and Indonesia. The main focus will probably be the economic and maritime cooperation. And of course, in the context of any strong relationship, there should also be a high people-to-people interaction.
Interaksi yang tinggi antara hubungan antara masyarakat, people-to-people.
Meanwhile, Director of the East Asia and Pacific at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Eddie Yusuf, said that during a visit to Australia, this weekend President Joko Widodo will be accompanied by Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Coordinating Minister for Economy, Trade Minister and Head of Investment Coordinating Board, Head of the Agency Credit Economy and Foreign Minister. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to meet the Prime Minister of Australia, the Australian Opposition Leader, Governor General of Australia, as well as some Australian business people. Eddie Yusuf also said the President Joko Widodo is also scheduled to deliver a speech in front of the Australian Parliament. Acceleration of negotiation to form an Indonesian-Australian Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IACEPA, will be an important topic to discuss during the visit of President Joko Widodo to Australia November 6 until 8. Director of the East Asia and Pacific at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Eddie Yusuf, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia hopes that the preparation of establishing IACEPA agreement between Indonesia and Australia will be completed at the latest by the end of 2017.
Antara lain pertama tadi di bidang perdagangan dan investasi.
Among others in the field of trade and investment, efforts include to speed up negotiation of IACEPA Indonesia-Australian Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. And apparently later in the meeting, the President will emphasize again that the negotiation has to be completed by the end of 2017. If the IACEPA has been agreed, it is expected that trade between the two countries will increase. In addition to the acquisition of the IACEPA, Eddie Yusuf said that a few other topics that will be raised during the visit of President Joko Widodo to Australia to increase cooperation in the field of food safety. In a meeting with Australian officials, President Joko Widodo will also discuss increased maritime cooperation, which will focus on the development of economic cooperation with independent of blue economy and the eradication of illegal fishing. Furthermore, according to Eddie, leaders of the two countries will also discuss cooperation in the area of combating terrorism and cybersecurity. Director General for American and European Region at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Muhammad Ansor, led the Indonesian delegation at the 4th Indonesian-Hungary Joint Commission meeting on economic cooperation in Jakarta on Tuesday. After opening the meeting, Muhammad Ansor said that the meeting is important to support development efforts in Indonesia. He said that Hungary has great potential in supporting the development of Indonesia, especially in infrastructure.
Hari ini kita punya meeting yang sangat penting, bermanfaat. Kita menemukan suatu peluang.
Today we have a very important meeting. We find a huge opportunity for our development, which is our partnership with Hungary, because Hungary has the capacity in many areas which are relevant to our development.
Dalam banyak hal, banyak bidang yang relevan dengan pembangunan kita.
Muhammad Ansor also said that there are some areas of cooperation to discuss in the Porch Indonesian-Hungary Joint Commission meeting, including management of drinking water and wastewater, digital economy, the use of atomic energy, health and sport industry. To introduce Indonesia to the people of Hungary, more than 350 Hungarian students get scholarship to study in Indonesia. It is expected to be a cultural bridge between Indonesia and Hungary. The last item, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs at the Trade of Hungary, László Sablo, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that Hungary is expected to develop the cooperative relations which had been already established with Indonesia. After the opening session of the 4th Indonesian-Hungary Joint Commission meeting for economic cooperation, László Sablo said that Hungary wants to develop cooperation with Indonesia in the front of economic cooperation. He also said that Indonesia and Hungary have a lot of potential that can be offered for the development of bilateral cooperation.
Well, first of all, we believe we have a fantastic partnership already in the political and the cultural exchange framework. We would like to extend this good partnership on the economic field as well. We believe we have a lot to offer to each other.
Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Misharajudu said in an international seminar in Jakarta on Tuesday that maritime defense has become vital for maintaining the safety of national and international shipping. The minister said good cooperation and communication between countries could address the issues of piracy, illegal fishing, and border disputes. He also remarked that Indonesia has become committed to improving national security and establishing defense posts within 5 years. The Defense Ministry also organized an international seminar for defense industry as part of 2016 Indo-Defense International Expo, being held in Kemayoran, Jakarta. An international seminar entitled Achieving Comprehensive Maritime Surveillance and Security Through Technology Innovation and Partnership was also held. The seminar was officially inaugurated by Minister Ria Misyad. The conference discusses issues of international cooperation through technology innovation in the context of maritime security in the region. The Russian Agency for Export Credit and Investment Insurance, IXIAR, and the Indonesian Insurance Institute PT Asuransi ASE Indonesia, ASE RAI, have signed a reinsurance agreement at the annual Russia-Indonesian Business Forum in Jakarta. A statement from the Russia-Indonesian Business Council received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday said that the agreement was signed by Alexei Teofanok, the IXIAR's Director General, who is also Director of Russia Expo Center, and Eko Santoso, the Director of Asuransi ASE Indonesia, at the forum held on October 31, 2016. The agreement provides insurance support for Russian and Indonesian companies that are involved in joint projects. In addition, the agreement provides mutual insurance for exporters of both countries through risk-sharing mechanism. The establishment of a risk-sharing platform serves as an encouragement for carrying out projects in economic sectors and strengthening trade and economic relations between Russia and Indonesia. The Executive Board of the World Bank has approved a development policy loan worth $400 million for the Indonesia logistic reform, which will be used to improve Indonesia logistic system and connectivity. World Bank's country director in Indonesia, Rodrigo Safes, said in a statement received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday that these reforms will help Indonesia in achieving higher inclusive growth. Safes also explained that the $400 million loan will support Indonesia to overcome obstacles in the supply chain such as dwelling time and trading permits. The World Bank support for the logistic reform is an important part of the partnership framework of the World Bank Group states, which is centered on the government's priority to bring significant changes. The last item, three Indonesians receive award from Japanese government for their contribution towards strengthening the relationship between Indonesia and Japan in terms of government policies and academics. A press release of the Japanese embassy in Jakarta received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday said the three were Satrio Sumantri Brojonegoro Baktiar Alam and Ahadi Noriko Terada. Satrio Sumantri Brojonegoro was considered to have played an instrumental role in improving the bilateral relations in the field of education, especially when he served as Director General of Higher Education at the Department of Education and Culture. Satrio also developed cooperation with Indonesian and Japanese universities through student exchange programs. For his work, Satrio received the Order of Rising Sun Gold Race with Neck Ribbon. Meanwhile, Baktiar Alam, who is a former director of the Japanese Studies Center at the University of Indonesia, was awarded the Order of the Rising Sun Gold Race. We are set for successfully expanding the Japanese study. Ahadi Noriko Terada received the Order of the Sacred Treasure Gold and Silver Race. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled New Potential of Conflict in Mosul Post-Occupation of ISIS. The expulsion of ISIS from the city of Mosul will not probably stop the armed conflict in the northern region of Iraq. If the initial concentration was directed to Ifrit ISIS, further conflict would probably occur precisely between the two neighboring countries, namely Turkey and Iraq. Now the tension hits the governments of Iraq and Turkey, both seems to eagerly exert influence and to become the ruler of Mosul. The escalation of tension occurs as a result of the mobilization of 10 troops and artillery of Turkey along the border with Iraq. Political statement by Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abdi sparks tension between Baghdad and Ankara. Prime Minister Haider al-Abdi said that even though his government does not want to wage war against his neighbor, his side is ready to face all possibilities, including war, when circumstances required. Before Turkey staged its troops on the border with Iraq, Iraqi forces along with the Shia militia were successful to cut the escape route of ISIS from Mosul to Syria. The question is that why new tension might emerge after the successful expulsion of ISIS and Mosul. The heated condition is related to people who live in Mosul and the sect that they follow. As known, Mosul is located in the Nineveh province, whose population is composed of Sunni, Shiite, and Christian Kurdish. The Sunni residents in Mosul are now worried about when ISIS is defeated by Shiite militias and Kurdish forces. In this regard, Turkey, that views the Kurdish and Shia as a threat, needs to protect Sunni Arabs who live in Mosul and northern Iraq. Currently, Turkey has deployed 700 military personnel in the town of Basiga, northern part of Mosul. The military force is assigned to train at least 2,500 Sunni Arab militias. If ISIS is successfully driven out from Mosul, Shia and Kurdi feel meritorious. As a consequence, a new crisis may emerge. The new potential of conflict is in fact already clear when the minority of Yazidi, Kurds, and Christians in Mosul believe that the Sunni residents have supported ISIS to violently suppress them. To address the new humanitarian tragedy in Mosul, the governments of Iraq and Turkey must cooperate to cool down the new potential of conflict instead of being hostile to each other, let alone be at war. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. We start from an event on November 4, 1954, Agus Salim passed away. Haji Agus Salim is an Indonesian freedom fighter. Haji Agus Salim is decided as one of the national heroes of Indonesia on December 27, 1961, through Presidential Decree No. 657-1961. Agus Salim held his basic education in Europese Lager School, or ELSE, a special school children of Europe. Then he continues to study in Hoger Burger School in Batavia. After graduation, Agus Salim works as a translator and assistant of notary in a mining joint venture in Indragiri. Salim then ran his career to the world of journalism since 1915 as an editor at the Neraca 2 Daily. After that, he appointed as chief editor. His activities in the field of journalism continues until he became leader of India's Baru Daily in Jakarta. Agus Salim also came to the political world as the leader of the Sarekat Islam, or SI, in 1915. Agus Salim's role during the struggle for Indonesian independence, among others, member of Volkskrat from 1921 to 1924, member of the Preparation Committee for the Preparation of 1945 Constitution, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs in the Syahrir Cabinet II in 1946 and Cabinet III in 1947, opening the diplomatic relations with Arab countries, especially Egypt, in 1947, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Amir Sharifuddin Cabinet in 1947, Foreign Minister in Hatta Cabinet from 1948 to 1949. He also served as the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Presidential Cabinet in 1950. He died on November 4, 1954, and was buried at Kalibata Heroes Cemetery, Jakarta. His name is now immortalized for football stadium in Padang, West Sumatra. On November 4, 2010, Aero Caribbean flight number 883 crashed and killed all 61 passengers and 7 crews. Aero Caribbean flight 883 was an international scheduled passenger flight from Port-au-Prince, Haiti to Havana, Cuba, via Santiago de Cuba. On November 4, 2010, the Aero Caribbean ATR-72212 operating the route crashed in the central Cuban province of Sancti Spiritus, killing all 61 passengers and 7 crew members aboard. It is the joint deadliest accident involving the ATR-72 or flights 4184 and 883 have killed 68 people, and the third deadliest aviation accident in Cuba. The day after the accident, rescue workers found the flight data recorder and cockpit voice recorder. All of them were sent to investigators for examination and analysis. We now conclude today's segment of Today in History with a historical event on November 4, 1921. Japanese Prime Minister Haratakashi was killed in Tokyo. Haratakashi, also called Harake, a politician who was Prime Minister of Japan from 1918 to 1921 and who established the political party as a fundamental institution of politics in Japan. Hara was the son of a high-ranking samurai family of northern Japan. After graduating from Tokyo University, he became a journalist. In 1882, he entered the Foreign Service, upon which he rose rapidly with the support of Ito Hirobumi and other prominent figures in government. In 1900, Hara participated with Ito in the founding of the Rikken Seiyukai of Friends of Constitutional Government Party. Hara became the Seiyukai Secretary General that year and was a principal leader of the party from then on, serving as its president after 1914. Elected to the parliament in 1900 and re-elected 8 times thereafter, he rose to become home minister in 1906 to 1908, 1911 to 1912, and 1913 to 1914. In 1918, he became the prime minister, representing the first political party cabinet. However, on November 4, 1921, he was killed at Tokyo Station. Listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about Indonesia holds Indo Defense Exhibition 2016. Listener, Indonesian Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla officially opened the exhibition of Indo Defense 2016 Expo and Forum in Kemayoran, Jakarta, Wednesday, November 2, 2016. The international level exhibition was participated in by the leading defense industries from various countries. The defense exhibition is taking place from November 2 to 5, 2016. After watching a number of defense equipment in the Indo Defense Exhibition, Vice President Yusuf Kalla highlighted one of the domestic defense industries, namely PT Dirgantara Indonesia, PTDI. Yusuf Kalla asked PTDI should focus on the manufacture of aircraft design so that the company can produce more leading products which able to compete in the international arena.
Iya, memang PTDI bahwa harus fokus, jangan ingin semua, jangan begitu banyak tipe pesawat.
PT Dirgantara Indonesia must focus in a certain type of plane to avoid problem how to sell it. The most complicated thing is how to maintain it after service. It also must focus on certain type of component. If we never improve national defense product, we always depend on other countries. Therefore, we must look at this exhibition not only to purchase it, but also to invite other countries to do the same activity.
Juga bagaimana memberikan contoh bahwa hal-hal begini dibuat oleh negara-negara lain.
Vice President Yusuf Kalla added, the implementation of defense equipment in the Indo Defense Exhibition is not only to encourage readiness for war, but thanks to the mutual effort to maintain world peace. Indo Defense Exhibition in 2016 is attended by 844 participants from 573 foreign companies and 271 domestic companies. They showed many defense products and security with modern technology. Meanwhile, Defense Minister Riamiza Riakudu, when delivering his speech, hope Indo Defense 2016 event can be a container to make defense technology cooperation among countries. He hoped the international exhibition became a defense industry cooperation to strengthen the country's maritime axis. The 7th Indo Defense Expo 2016, themed Strengthening the Defense Industry Cooperation, Delivering Global Maritime Axis and World Peace. On the other hand, the Ministry of Defense targeting 25,000 visitors at the Exhibition of International Defense Industry of Indo Defense Expo. Director Technology and Defense Industry, Directorate General Defense Potential, Defense Ministry Brigadier General Jan Peter Eid in Jakarta said, the target is based on the number of participants in the Indo Defense Expo this year. Director Technology and Defense Industry, Directorate General Defense Potential, Defense Ministry Brigadier General Jan Peter Eid in Jakarta said, The target is based on the number of participants in the Indo Defense Expo this year. He hopes the technology industry cooperation agreement has also increased among stakeholders who involved in the implementation of the Indo Defense Expo. That was today's focus.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to be on working visit to Australia on November 6 until 8. The visit is aimed at fulfilling the invitation of the Australian government. Acceleration of a negotiation to form an Indonesia-Australian Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, ICEPA, will be an important topic to be discussed during the visit of President Joko Widodo to Australia. Director General for American and European Region at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Muhammad Ansor, led the Indonesian delegation of the 4th Indonesian-Hungary Joint Commission meeting on economic cooperation in Jakarta on Thursday. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade of Hungary, László Szabó, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that Hungary is expected to develop the cooperative relation which had been already established with Indonesia. Indonesian Defense Minister Riamisha Raichudu said in an international seminar in Jakarta on Tuesday that maritime defense has become vital for the maintaining the safety of national and international shipping. The Russian Agency for Export Credit and Investment Insurance, IKSIR, and the Indonesian Insurance Institute PT Asuransi ASEI Indonesia ASEI REI have signed a reinsurance agreement at the annual Russia-Indonesian Business Forum in Jakarta. The Executive Board of the World Bank has approved a development policy loan worth $400 million for the Indonesia Logistics Reform, which will be used to improve Indonesia's logistics system and connectivity. Three Indonesians received award from the Japanese government for their contribution towards strengthening the relationship between Indonesia and Japan in terms of government policies and academics. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring culinary art, the fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Tubo tradition from Central Java. Stay tuned. Listener, Tuntang River is one of the rivers in Central Java Province, which flows Salatiga City, Semarang, and Demak region seas. The water of the river is used as hydroelectric power company PLTA, and also to meet the daily needs of people in the region. The Tuntang River a few days ago was crowded by hundreds of residents of Ngombak Village, Kedung Jati Regency, Grobogan, Central Java. The villagers flocked to the river carrying fishing equipments. The mass traditional fishing is familiarly called with Tubo tradition. Tubo, the hereditary tradition, is held every 2 years, aimed at reminding the ancestors as the forerunner of Ngombak village, namely Kedono and Kedini. At that time, the two men looked for fish in Tuntang River by using tubo concoction, consisting of a mixture of sweet potatoes, eggs, rice, and insect venom. The tubo concoction is then stocked in the river. the fish, then distribute it to residents. The tradition of catching fish continuously to be preserved until nowadays. Listener, before the implementation of Tubo tradition, religious leaders along with residents held ritual and eat together. The two jars containing Tubo concoction are prayed then spread into Tuntang River with sophisticated tools such as nets. The residents, including children and adolescents, then jump into the river to collect fishes that floating caused by Tubo concoction. Some youth desperate to swim to the middle of raging rivers as deep as 1.5 meters to get the fish. The tradition, which is started at 11 until 16 p.m., ran lively. In an ancient times, they catch the fish used a kind of plant namely janu, or in Indonesian language called tuba. The stalk or roots of janu is pounded and put into Kriya River that make the fish are contaminated and raised to the surface of the river. Perhaps from the word tuba, it might be changed into tubo, which is finally used as the name of the implementation of the ceremony. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Tubo Tradition. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany. Listener, if you plan to visit the city of Bandung, West Java, starting November next month, you will not find styrofoam as boxes or bowls as food containers. Why? Because Bandung seriously prohibits the use of styrofoam as food container. Listener, the use of styrofoam for food packaging currently already familiar among people. Whereas the danger lurking behind the white container. Related to the danger posed by styrofoam, Mayor of Bandung Ridwan Kamil, who was familiarly called Kang Emil, has banned the use of styrofoam in the city as a food container. The ban was initiated when Kang Emil watched the rivers in Bandung covered by styrofoam waste, which is caused flooding. Listener, the policy of banning the use of styrofoam will begin to force on November 1, 2016, next month. The prohibition will be applied gradually to the designation of some areas as the pioneer. This prohibition was revealed by Mayor Ridwan Kamil in their social media accounts on Wednesday, October 12, 2016. It is apparently to get feedback and positive response from his followers. And it is hoped other cities in Indonesia following Bandung to prohibit the use of styrofoam as food containers. Head of Legal Department of Bandung City, Bambang Suhairi, explained, this prohibition program will not directly to ban the use of styrofoam, but it is more instructive to designate some areas as pioneers of the policy implementation. Government agencies and schools will be the priority area. The use of styrofoam has been banned in a number of the world's major cities such as London and New York. In Indonesia, Bandung will be the first city to implement the environment policy. Listener, styrofoam is made of granules of styrene, which is processed by using benzana. Benzana is a chemical that harms to the health when entered into the human body. In addition, the styrofoam is unfriendly environmentally because it cannot be forced by nature. Listener, that was Miss Lenny for today with the topic Bandung bans the use of styrofoam for food. We'll see you again in other occasions with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to our daily segment of Music Corner. To begin today's Music Corner, let's enjoy a dangdut song sang by Maggie Z entitled Sakit Gigi. This often happens to most of people, especially those who are not aware of their health. The pain is extremely painful. Maggie Z uses the taste of toothache for comparing to heartache. This is some of the lyric of the song Sakit Gigi. It's better to have a toothache than a heartache. That song lyric expresses how sad it is to be cheated on by the beloved one. In his songs, he often uses the term of daily life to describe love story. There is one famous song of the singer who died on October 21, 2009, entitled Jatuh Bangun. Listener, let's listen to the next song, Jatuh Bangun, from Maggie Z.
Segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Jatuh bangun aku mencintai, namun dirimu tak mau. Tawarkan segelas air, namun kau meminta lautan. Tak sanggup diriku, sungguh tak sanggup. bakar hatiku sehingga cintaku berubah haluan. Percuma saja berlayar kalau kau takut gelombang. Percuma saja bercinta kalau kau takut sengsara. Jatuh bangun aku mengejarmu, namun dirimu tak mau mengerti. Ku bawakan segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Berlayar kalau kau takut gelombang. Percuma saja bercinta kalau kau takut sengsara. Jatuh bangun aku mengejarmu, namun dirimu tak mau mengerti. Ku bawakan segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu.
Listener, you've just listened to the song Jatuh Bangun Feng by Maggie Zett. The term of jatuh bangun is often used to reflect a person's sacrifice in order to reach the purpose. The song Jatuh Bangun was really popular song in Indonesia in 1990. Then some of other singers did the arrangements of song which makes Maggie Zett more famous. To end the segment of Music Corner, I will play another from Maggie Zett. Although Maggie Zett has passed away, until this time, Dangdut listener in Indonesia keep on listening to his songs. I hope you like the songs we have dedicated in this segment. Here is the last song by Maggie Zett. Thank you for listening and see you tomorrow.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Hatiku sedang rindu, pada siapa ku mengadu. Dalam hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku. Akan ku cari walau kemana, kini aku berkelana. Ke ujung dunia akan ku cari. Kalau hatiku sedang rindu, pada siapa ku tanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.